Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Crickets. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on my left for today's special episode of TCCP is none other than everyone's favourite Nottinghamshire County Cricket Club intern, Mr. Matt Wiley. So Matt, first things first, mate, thank you very much for rejoining me on the podcast. Again, it's becoming quite the occurrence in 2022. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
Well, it just got a lot better being referred to with that introduction, I'll be honest with you. It's been good, thank you, yeah. Travel back from Nottingham this morning, having been at, let's just say a game for now. I'm sure we'll come on to the events that unfolded at Trent Bridge last night. All is good. And heading to Lords tomorrow, so quite looking forward to that. All is well. How are you?
Very good, to be honest, Matt. Just an apologies in advance, I suppose, to the listeners if I do sound quite tired today, because completely out of the blue, I was whisked off to the Oval on Tuesday watching Surrey versus Gloucestershire. And actually, before I mention anything else, just a massive, massive shout out to Bex Garrard. She's a good friend of ours here at the County Cricket Podcast. And yeah, she sorted a ticket out basically the last minute for that trip. So shout out to Bex, lovely person, always a great guest to have here on the podcast. And yeah, obviously very, very grateful for that. And Matt, before we go on to the main content of today's episode, which is, of course, the review of the North and South group in this first week of games in the T20 Blast, just how brilliant is it, how exciting is it to have the T20 Blast back in our lives?
It really is, isn't it? I know, yeah. It's don't get me wrong, the county championship, you love that. You love the ebb and flow of it and everything, and the individual battles, and it's got its charm and attraction in spades. But no, this is just fantastic, isn't it? Under the lights, we've had some good crowds at Trent Bridge, and good crowds as well from what I've seen elsewhere on various streams. No, it's really quite special, isn't it? And it's only just getting started as well. We've got a lot more of it to enjoy.
Well, we most certainly have, but I'll tell you what, it's already shaping up to be a very, very interesting competition indeed, as we'll get onto in today's show. And for those who don't know how our T20 Blast review shows actually work, just to give you a quick overview of what you can expect in 2022, we'll be discussing the North Group and the South Group. And in terms of those different groups, I suppose, we have got different categories, some different analysis to perform today, which is, of course, standout batting performances, standout bowling performances, standout under 25 players, our player of the week, our team of the week, and one of my favourite segments, the game to watch out for, because there's a whole host of games which could come under that category. So that's just a basic overview, a summary of what you can expect from us here at the County Cricket Podcast for the 2022 Vitality T20 Blast shows. And what better place to start today's review show then, Matt, than with our county's group, which is, of course, the North Group, always offers some engrossing, compelling, captivating cricket every single year in the T20 Blast. And what better place to start than with our standout batting performance of the week? And Matt, if you don't mind, I'd like to go first on this one, because I was actually at the ground. I was there at Fortress Edgbaston to witness this live in the flesh. Paul Sterling's 119 from 51 balls on Bears debut versus Northamptonshire. He hit James Sales for 34 runs in a single over. And if Edgbaston had a roof, it would have been blown off. The atmosphere after he hit those five sixes, the boundary at the end as well, was electric, to say the very least. And in total, he ended up scoring 9 fours and 10 sixes. It was an unbelievable effort from the destructive Irishman. Matt, would you say that was your North Group batting performance of the week, or has something else caught your eye over the past 7 days?
I think, yes. I mean, when you're dealing with the only century of the tournament so far, you'd have to put it quite high up, wouldn't you? But no, I would also want to maybe just draw a little bit of attention to Chris Lynn, perhaps, who I've got to be honest, maybe I was feeling a little bit harsh on him when he signed for Northants, because I was kind of thinking, not that he's past it, but maybe that he's, let's say past his peak. But yeah, he took those and smashed them apart, didn't he? And took those stereotypes away. Durham, that's just 83, I think it was, wasn't it? Which is absolutely sterling batting performance, because he's exactly the sort of player that he'll either come off and he'll send it mild and he'll get a massive score, or he'll fall early, won't he? And it's almost like if he gets past, you know, that those early sort of 10, 15, then you know what's coming, don't you? And once he's got past there and he hits it so hard, and so he's got such a range of shots, hasn't he, that, yeah, that was quite special as well. But I will be honest, there's very, very little, if anything, knocking Paul Sterling off top spot, isn't there? That Edgbaston as well, it's such a massive ground. You know, we're not dealing with a postage stamp here. To get a strike rate of 230 above, in fact, is, yeah, you run out of superlatives for something like that, don't you, really?
You really do, Matt. And again, it's been almost a week since that batting display from Sterlo. I'm still a bit speechless, to be honest. It didn't feel real, especially on Bear's debut. It was absolutely stunning. So, yeah, I think we're both in agreement there. Paul Sterling, that is definitely the batting performance of the week in the North group. But you did mention that not from Chris Lynn, and I'm guessing you've seen the social media video from the North Ants admin. Did you see the six that landed in someone's backyard? That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah. This is the thing, isn't it? Like, he is box office, isn't he? He is exactly the sort of player that gets you out of your seat. I mean, that video of him hitting the six in the big back, I mean, this is probably, what, 4 or 5 years ago now, isn't it? The one that leaves the Gabba. I've been in that ground, and to be able to clear both tiers at the Gabba, honestly, I think it was Aaron Finch. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Aaron Finch. He just said, what a hit, Linny. I think that landed on the Story Bridge, which, you know, a bridge over the Brisbane River, just sort of downtown. And I thought, you know, and I went and had a look, and I thought, yeah, do you know what it actually might have done? Because it's that sort of clip that just goes viral, doesn't it? And it's same again, you know, it's that's what you sign up to when you get somebody like Chris Lynn. And he doesn't, he's not quiet, is he? He's, you know, more sixes than fours. He only knows one way, and he plays that way, and it's superbly entertaining.
Well, it most certainly is, and someone in the North Ants crowd shouting cricket every single time as well. Fantastic entertainment. I think that's how we'd describe Chris Lynn's start to life in a North Ants shirt in 2022. But batting aside, standout bowling performance, for me personally, Matt, this can only go to one person in the North group this week, and that'd be Richard Gleeson. 5 for 33 against Worcestershire at Old Trafford. And I'll tell you what, two of the deliveries in particular, it was to Jake Libby and Colin Munro. He clean bowled Jake Libby, trapped Colin Munro LBW. But they were really, really well executed. And for Richard Gleeson, who in the past year has had a lot of injury difficulties, in fact, you can argue he struggled throughout his entire career with injuries, isn't it just brilliant seeing him back in this vein of form with the speed up, executing those fuller deliveries, executing the subtle change of pace? How impressive has he been so far in this year's T20 Blast? He's taken 8 wickets as of this recording.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I mean, obviously when he was signed by Lancashire, wasn't it, from North Ants, he was this up and coming rapid bowler. You know, Lancashire took a chance on him, and it's paid dividends, hasn't it? And I mean, I did get a chance to see him last night in Knox against Lancashire, and you know, fortunately he was bowling from the Radcliffe Road end, which obviously I was sat at that end. That was my viewpoint, and he was just so rapid. It's like that. You know, we've talked a little bit in T20, there seemed to be a trend developing where spinners tend to do a little bit better, and you know, you take the pace off the ball and stuff like that, because if it's coming onto the bat well, then somebody who can time the hand right, say somebody like Tom Moore, for example, who's got such quick hands, then they can just cart you to all parts. But he was just so rapid. He's almost just, yeah, serious wheel from him. And like you said, you know, anyone who's able to build themselves back up after injury struggles and reach the level that they were before, and maybe even go slightly beyond that, it's, yeah, Lancaster it might be, but you've got to appreciate that, definitely.
Well, you most certainly do, Matt. And aside from that 5 for 33 as well, because this will be a perfect transition into our discussion about this week's under 25 player in the North group, but that Roses match, We can't go through today's show without mentioning the incredibly, incredibly captivating finish up at Old Trafford. It was absolutely staggering, wasn't it? First and foremost, great crowd as well. Sell-out crowd at Emirates Old Trafford. But Gleeson trapping Harry Brook, who, it should come as no surprise, is our under-25 player of the week. I think we're both in agreement on that for today's show. But it was an incredible game, wasn't it, Matt? I mean, as a Yorkshireman, how did you find that? Were you able to manage the nerves, or did they get the better of you in that moment?
Well, I've got to be honest, I thought we were going to lose. Genuinely, I thought when we needed 14 at the last over, I thought, even though Harry Brook was in, I thought, oh, we're done for it. You know, I'd love to see the stats about how many times a team is genuinely... I know it sounds just about on the boundaries of possible, 14 off six, but I'd love to see how many times a team has genuinely done that. And then somehow we managed to get it down to level, didn't we? And I just thought it was... I mean, that's what you love about T20, isn't it? That is it in a... If you could bottle down the essence, that, just could go either way at any point. And I just... Yeah. I kind of went for... It is the hope that killed you, obviously. And I kind of went from thinking, oh, we've got no chance to... Okay, let's see what happens here. Okay. Are we going to win? Are we actually going to... No, we're not going to win. No, obviously, we're not going to win. Oh, we might win. And then that was all in the space of one ball, for crying out loud. So it's just to keep you cool as well, to execute that when you're bowling at Harry Brook, one of the most, if not the most informed batter in the country. Supremely, supremely high quality from both sides. And just a pity we couldn't quite get over the line. But honours even is not a defeat. We can take them back to Headingley and we can beat them there in front of our own crowd. And that will do me. We'll take 3 points off Lancastrians and knock them out in the group stage when we get through to finals day. It's all fine.
Sorry, Matt. Just to make sure, and just for the listeners' benefit, you from Yorkshire? You don't make it obvious enough.
No, I don't. If you want me to make it more obvious, I'm happy to.
To be fair, I'm no one to talk about that. I bring up Warwickshire in every single sentence, so the quicker we move on from the bias, the better.
Justifiably, because we're terrible in T20, aren't we? So, Warwickshire, you've genuinely got reason to be a bit confident in T20 because you're quite a good team. We, on the other hand, do not have a record to be proud of. So, if I should pipe down, then please tell me to pipe down.
No, it's absolutely fine, Matt. Again, just... You got to speak from the heart on these things. We are, of course, very, very passionate about our teams. Everybody is. But the key thing here at the Counter Cricket Podcast, we cover all 18 and we cover them fairly. And that is the job of us lot here at TCCP. But talking to Harry Brook, 72 from 48 deliveries in that Roses match on the Sky Sports cameras. Again, so much pressure on his shoulders. And you just can't get him out at the moment. He's been absolutely staggering across formats. Again, there's a lot of talk. Should he have been in that England Test side? We're not going to have that discussion right now before we make this an hour-long episode. But there's definitely arguments for him to be included in the rest of the series. Absolutely. And so far in this year's T20 Blast, 161 runs, an average of 80.5. And the real important thing for me, what makes him so impressive, he's striking at 175. Brilliance. Absolutely brilliant for Harry Brook. So... yeah, I think it goes without saying he is our under-25 player in the North Group this week. I would also just like to give a bit of a mention, though, to Chris Benjamin. 111 runs so far in the T20 Blast. He's yet to get out, and his strike rate is 205. He brought up a 22-ball 50 against Durham. We were about 26 for 4, I think. 26 or 36 for 4. We were absolutely struggling in the power play. Brydon Carse was all over the Bears. And out of nowhere, Chris Benjamin just absolutely dispatched the likes of Scott Borthwick, Liam Travaskis, and Brydon Carse himself in a masterclass in middle order batting. So shout out to Chris Benjamin as well. The man who's so good, they gave him two first names just to justify just how brilliant he is as a cricketer.
It's so valuable, isn't it? It's so valuable, that hard hitting middle order bat. I mean, he's, to be honest, I'm almost a little bit relieved that, in the sense that Harry Brook not in the England squad, because hopefully in the England team, sorry, that we might get him back now, because that, obviously, I think, Yorkshire, they've got that top three. They've got Cole Cadmore, Lythe, and Willie now, actually, who's back, thankfully. But if they fail, then before, we'd have very little help. But now, Harry Brook's there, and indeed, when the Yorkshire top order failed, they had Benjamin. It's so valuable to have that number four, number five, who can come in and give it that real power hitting. It's worth his weight in gold.
It most certainly is. And again, how many players fit that description in the T20 Blast? We're incredibly blessed and privileged, I think, at the moment, to be honest, with some of the players that we're seeing in action. And again, I have no doubt that we'll be talking about them in a lot more detail as these review shows do go on in this year's tournament. But moving on to our player of the week then. I think this is obvious for me, Matt. I'm going to go Paul Sterling. And again, if anybody needs any convincing, 164 runs, averaging 54.66, and just the strike rate of 207.59. He's also hit 12 sixes, which unsurprisingly is the most out of any player in this year's T20 Blast so far. So Paul Sterling would be my player of the week. And Matt, I'll pass over to you for this segment, actually. I'll be very, very interested to know your answer for this. Who would your team of the week be? I've got this between two counties, neither of which you'll be very happy with, to be honest, given your connections to Nottinghamshire and Yorkshire. But who do you select as your team of the week in the North this week?
So can I guess that you're going to say Lancashire and Derbyshire? They're your two. Are they not? Okay, fair enough, because I actually thought you might be going to say Derbyshire, because Derbyshire, yeah, they pulled off a really, really impressive victory at Headingley last night. And I was saying this last night, that obviously we were expecting Mickey Arthur to have an effect. I don't think we're expecting him to have an effect this far and this deep-rooted as well. You know, the performances have changed in all formats, what we've seen in the Red Bull stuff and now in this. But it will be tough to take it away from Lancashire, especially after what we saw last night. Do you know what? Why not? Let's say Lancashire. I'll get it out of the way, because then no one can accuse me of not saying it, of not being fair to Lancashire. There you go. So Lancashire are my team of the week. And hopefully I never have to say it for the rest of the tournament. But we'll get that one out of the way quickly. They're a good team, aren't they? It's like you look at them and think, oh, I wish you weren't so good. But they are. They're a good team. It's nice when they give Yorkshire a game. To be fair, they're probably the favourites, aren't they, when we meet at the moment. But there we go. Lancashire are my team of the week. I'm feeling a bit nauseous.
Hey, fair play, Matt. Fair play. Again, a professional opinion as opposed to the partisan opinion, which wanted to say Yorkshire or Nottinghamshire. But yeah, I'd agree with that, actually. And that might come as a surprise, because the Bears are actually, at the moment, as of this recording, top of the North group, having won their first three games. It's been an absolutely phenomenal start for Carlos Brathwaite's men. But I would actually go Lancashire, because, of course, you had that thrilling tie up at Old Trafford in the Roses match. They played Nottinghamshire and beaten them quite convincingly, which is no easy feat at all, considering the strength of that Not squad. They're basically in the playoffs every single year in the T20 Blast, so again, an incredibly impressive performance right there from the Lightning. And Worcestershire as well. I know they haven't got the likes of Moeen Ali or Dwayne Bravo available just yet, but there's some great players in there. And Pat Brown, for example, after coming back from injury in 2021. So I would go with the Lancashire Lightning. I think they've been very, very impressive indeed. And Matt,
by the way, that was Lancashire's first win. Do you know what the last time they won at Trent Bridge before last night was? Somebody told me that.
2013.
Earlier than that.
Really?
Mm.
When was it?
2009.
So
I think that was their 10th visit to Trent Bridge. If they'd lost that would have been their 10th loss at Trent Bridge in a row in 2020.
Well, there we go. What a fantastic piece of trivia that is. Good. And of course, maybe a good sign as well for Lancashire in 2022, breaking that 13-season-long hoodoo. Goodness me. Wow, that is very, very promising indeed for the Northern County. But Matt, to wrap up our look at the North group before we look at the table and, of course, analyse the South group, game to watch out for. What do you select for this week?
It's really tough, isn't it? Because there's so many that just kind of jump out at you, and there's so many that make you think, oh, this one could be good, this one could be brilliant. But do you know what? Genuinely, I am going to say this one, Sunday afternoon, this coming Sunday, I think we've got a hell of a one. You're smiling because you know which one I'm talking about. I presume you're probably going to be there at Eggbiston, aren't you? But yeah, Birmingham against Notts. That's two proper heavyweights scrapping at it. Assuming, hopefully, we see a better Notts performance than we saw last night. They've got a game against Derbyshire, which, to be fair, could be another shout. You know, East Midlands Derby. But no, I think two proper heavyweights going at Eggbiston Sunday afternoon. So hopefully... it'll be a good atmosphere, but it'll be a nice, you know, relaxed It won't be quite as maybe not as intense as a Friday night, but it will just be a nice happy atmosphere, and we'll see what unfolds.
Well, we will indeed, Matt. We shall indeed. The only thing that I'm a little bit wary of, I have looked at the weather forecast. There is some rain around in the West Midlands, but again, we'll have to wait and see. Maybe, who knows, the weather gods may shine favourably on us this Sunday, because that would be an absolutely fantastic game. Again, the Bears looking for revenge from what was an absolute annihilation at the hands of the Outlaws in 2021, the lowest total in Warwickshire's history, bowled out for 62 runs at Edgbaston. So again, that is going to be a very, very tasty encounter indeed on Sunday, the 5th of June. But talking of the Bears then, let's have a look at the North Group tables at the end of game week one. And at the top, as of this recording, although Lancashire may or may not leapfrog us later after the Derbyshire game, the Bears are currently top of the North Group on 6 points. In second are Lancs on 5 points. In third, and they've been very, very impressive again, they narrowly lost to the Bears at the Encora ground, Derbyshire County Cricket Club in third with 2 wins out of 3. Very, very impressive indeed. In fourth are Yorkshire on 3 points. In fifth are the Notts Outlaws on 3 points. In sixth are the Northamptonshire Steelbacks, also on 3 points. Then in seventh and eighth, with 2 points apiece, we have Durham and the Leicestershire Foxes. And in ninth and bottom place in the North Group at the end of game week one, we have got the Worcestershire Rapids on 0 points. But with that being said, they have had a very, very tough start to the competition in terms of the teams that they played. So I don't think Worcestershire will be there for very long. That's what I will say. But moving on from the North Group then, Matt, let's look forward to the South Group. And let's start again with the standout batting performance. This one's pretty obvious for me, to be honest. I'd go with Stephen Eskenazi. 87 from 37 balls versus Gloucestershire at Radlett. And can we just talk about, first and foremost, obviously the 22-ball 50. Very impressive. Some lovely shots from the Middlesex captain. But the outfield was absolutely rapid, wasn't it? It was like an ice rink with which the speed and velocity of the ball was travelling to the fence.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I mean, Radlett's not... It's not a massive ground anyway, is it? But it's just that when you're dealing with that sort of pristine level of when it's just been cut perfectly, and what more can you say? He had his day. He picked his spot on 13-4, wasn't it? Just gently caressing it. Didn't, like you say, you don't even need to hit it that hard, and it just races away to defence. And to be fair, if you don't need to hit it that hard, bring in someone like Stevie Eskenazi, who can hit it quite hard. And you've got the recipe for that batting performance, haven't you? Which was, of course, an even higher strike rate than Paul Sterling, wasn't it? So there you go.
Well, yeah, very, very impressive performance indeed from the Saxes skipper. 87 from 37 balls. And I do just have to bring up the outfield again, because I think it was Glenn Phillips. Bear in mind that Glenn Phillips has played all around the world. He's played in South Africa. He plays some very, very quick surfaces in New Zealand as well. He said, I think it was immediately after that first innings, that was the quickest outfield he's ever played on. So, yeah, that was probably part and parcel of it, but an excellent knock from Stephen Eskenazi. And just another knock, which I would put out there as well, in actually the tournament opener, so this was the first game of the season, Riley Russo's 81 not out from 54 balls against Kent down at the Spitfire ground. We'll talk a bit more about Riley as today's show progresses, but a very, very commanding performance indeed from the Somerset new signing. So it's a toss-up between those two for me. I would go with Stephen Eskenazi, and to be honest, I'm very, very pleased for him. A very underrated T20 player, got excellent strike rates. And yeah, I don't think that'll be the last 50-plus score we see from the Saxes skipper in 2022. And talking of underrated cricketers, but certainly not underappreciated, because this guy's absolutely adored by all of us here in county cricket, let's move on to our standout bowling performance of the week. And for me, it should come as absolutely no surprise who I'm talking about here, Mr. Michael Hogan, who just turned 41 the other day. So happy belated birthday to Michael Hogan, an absolute stalwart and icon of county cricket. 2022 is meant to be his final year, but if he's going to produce some 5 for 18s like he did against Surrey at the Oval last week, I'm basically begging him to sign that contract extension. Hashtag one more year. That's what we want trending on Twitter. Michael Hogan, if you're listening, please, please, please sign that new contract. County cricket would not be the same without you, mate. But if you can, Matt, a few words on that performance from Hoggs. Glamorgan took 6 wickets in that game at the Oval. Michael Hogan took 5 of them and bowled 13 dot balls from his 24 deliveries. Just a few words, if you can.
To go up against a team with the strength of Surrey, I mean, I know ultimately they ended up winning, didn't they, Surrey? But that's exactly what you need in T20, isn't it? You need a bowler who can kind of... Dot ball, I mean, dot balls are massive because they're the ones that build the pressure, aren't they? And, you know, Glamorgan set a perfectly respectable target. 173 is a good score. You've got to go at 8.5 and over to get it, which is not easy by any stretch. And so then, you know, when you build up those dot balls and you maybe knock the run required run rate up above 9, scoreboard pressure, it does start to build quickly. But then if you've also got a bowler who can take wickets at the other end, then even better. And then the absolute zenith of that is if you've got a bowler that can do both. And that's what he does, isn't it? It's that level of experience is massive in T20, isn't it? I mean, you see the T20 Globetrotters that just build up years upon years of experience by travelling all over the world playing in the format, and they can spot things that, you know, your average fan can't, or maybe your less experienced players can't, and they can jump on any opportunity. And to be fair, he jumped on every opportunity, didn't he, Michael Hogan? He almost carried them to victory himself. It's just that little... We could go into a massive debate about bowling allocations, couldn't we, and all that, and, you know, they're only allowed to bowl 4 overs. But to be honest, I would happily say that if Michael Hogan had been allowed to bowl maybe 5 or 6 overs, Glamorgan would have won that game, because he was just unplayable, wasn't he?
Well, he was, Matt, but at the same time, if buts, maybes. And unfortunately, that isn't how T20 cricket does work. You do have your allocation of 4 overs, but what a 4 overs it was. Mm-hmm. Again, a spell which I don't think many Glamorgan fans will be forgetting anytime soon. And you look at the wickets as well. Jason Roy, Will Jacks, Ollie Pope, Sam Curran and Jordan Clark. What a quintet of wickets that is to pick up. So Michael Hogan, he has had a sensational start to this year's T20 Blast. 9 wickets in 3 games, averaging 8.77. And an economy rate of 6.58 for a seam bowler. Remarkable. As we said, timeless, vintage, iconic, Hoggs, one more year. That's all we're asking for here at the County Cricket Podcast. Make it happen. Make our dreams come true. That's all I'll say. But moving on from Michael Hogan then, and what a bowling performance it was, let's talk about our standout under-25 player from the South Group this week. And Matt, we might actually disagree here, because I think there's quite a few shouts, Percy speaking. I've gone with Max Holden, and I do have some reasoning, I do have some logic, some rationale. I know that a lot of people out there would have been expecting Will Smead, and again, a fine shout to say the very least. But Holden's been opening the batting for the Saxes. He scored 108 runs in 3 games, striking at 161.19. That is remarkable, and there was one knock in particular. It was against Glamorgan. He scored 41 from 22 balls, 5 fours, 2 sixes. Just looked imperious out there in the middle in that lovely pink Middlesex shirt. Matt, would you agree with Max Holden as the under-25 player this week, or would you go Will Smead, or even go with someone else?
Do you know what? I'm actually going to go with someone else. I'm going to go for Michael Pepper.
Oh, that's a good shout.
Because, I mean, it's just
from
that...
Essex?
Yeah, exactly, from Essex, yeah. So that 75 that he hit, I mean, that was speedy. Say the least. Not out as well, unbeaten. Chelmsford, you know, one of the smaller grounds on the circuit, yeah. But yeah, that 75, I mean, it was just absolutely crucial, wasn't it? And 9 fours, 4 sixes, that is exactly what you need from a T20 innings. You need panache, you need speed, you need the ability to score the boundaries when they matter, and then just occasionally, you know, go early or take a big six when the opportunity arises. And that's exactly what he did. You know, unbeaten, like I said, not out. That's just massive. And he just carried them to victory, didn't he? Set up well. Set up well. They only lost 2 wickets. Enjoyed a good partnership with Matt Critchley. And just, yeah, it was exactly what Essex needed. And they pulled off a really comprehensive win against the strong Hampshire team. So I think, yeah, he's definitely one to watch out for.
Admittedly, Matt, that is an excellent shout. And you mentioned about speed. One thing I've noticed with Michael Pepper, aside from his footwork, I think his footwork is very impressive first and foremost to get into those good scoring positions, but the speed of his hands, he really does leather the cricket ball. He's very, very entertaining to watch. So, yeah, that's a great shout. It really is. Again, I'm still going to stick with Max Holden. But again, Max Holden, Michael Pepper, again, an honourable mention to Will Smead. It's just a testament, isn't it, really? Some excellent young batters in the South Group in 2022. And this is going to be interesting as well, Matt. I'm not sure if we're going to agree on this one either, but the South Group Player of the Week. Again, there's quite a few candidates. I've personally gone for Riley Russo from Somerset. I did say we'd return to him. He's currently the leading run scorer in the 2022 Vitality T20 Blast with 174 runs and a strike rate of 172.27. And for a guy who, let's face it, when it was announced on social media, there was a lot of reservation. A lot of reservation. Some people saying it would be a good signing, other people saying it was a very underwhelming purchase from Somerset, given the fact that it's had the likes of Babar Azam in recent years gone by. He's been quite sensational, though, hasn't he? To be honest, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, it can be, if you cop that sort of, oh, it is a bit underwhelming, it's a bit of a, I'm not completely sure. But then, whether you see that or not, you just turn up and you just put the performances in, and that is how you make yourself, you don't need to get drawn into any of this sort of, are we sure? You just put your head down, you do your job, and that is how you answer your critics. And I mean, was it underwhelming? I think, you know, he's done an excellent job for South Africa in the past. He's got experience in England with Hampshire. I don't know if it was that underwhelming. I mean, maybe Somerset could have picked up a bit of a bigger name, but I think it's a perfectly acceptable Blast signing. And look at that. He's top of the run scoring charts. And, you know, I'm sure he will be, there will be people move above him and et cetera, such as the fast-paced nature of the Blast. But, you know, he's put himself in a brilliant position early on, and he's put Somerset in a brilliant position early on. And to be honest, it's actually quite handy that you mentioned Somerset, because I would say my standout player of the week would also be somebody from the South African shores, Marchant de Lange. Because, I mean, honestly, mate, to concede 9 runs, I know he only bowled 3 overs, but to concede 9 runs is just, again, a fast bowler. You know, if you get one even slightly wrong, spur it down the leg side, the keeper's got no chance. That's 5 runs. And off none straight away, isn't it? You know, that to be that accurate and to be that speedy. I mean, I saw him play for Trent Rockets in the 100 when he was signed up as a replacement for, I think it was for Wahab Riaz, wasn't it? And he took a 5-foot Trent Bridge. And then, you know, that was the first time I'd ever actually seen him bowl. And it just kind of proves how good he is in this limited overs format. And yeah, again, that's what I talked about, building that pressure and then taking the wickets at the same time. But I mean, they are sterling figures, aren't they? But yeah, I think Somerset runners up last year, still very strong. One to watch.
They are indeed. And it's interesting you mention that, because both of our players of the week coming from Somerset, would they be your team of the week? Because, and again, I have looked at this differently. I think Somerset are massively up there for me. I've put them as an honourable mention, but hear me out here. I've gone with Middlesex. Purely because with Somerset, you mentioned already there, Matt, runners-up last year. And on paper, they always looked really strong with the likes of, you know, Josh Davey, Lewis Gregory, Tom Banton, Will Smead, Tom Abel's been in good form as well, Roddy Russo, Marchant de Lange. The list goes on and on and on in the West Country. With Middlesex, I don't think they're as strong on paper. And then, of course, you had the absence of Shaheen Shah Afridi, who's gone back to Pakistan, which was a massive blow before a ball was even bowled in the tournament. And yet they've come out on fire. That game in Radley in particular, and yes, it was a lightning quick outfield, and yes, small boundaries, it's an outground, I get that. But they looked as though they were going to score about 250 at one point. The fact that they only scored 229 was actually a little bit of an anticlimax. But it's been a really, really strong start to the summer for the Saxes. So for that reason, I would go with them as my team of the week. But Matt, I can see the glint in your eye. I already know you're going to disagree. Would you go with Somerset as this week's
team? I wouldn't
team?
Go with Somerset, actually. No, you've made a really, really good point there. And that is, obviously, that Middlesex have had a pretty wretched time of it in the Blast over the years, to be honest. I mean, I say wretched. They've got a T20 Cup in the cabinet, haven't they? Which cannot be said for Yorkshire. But no, they've not enjoyed themselves, have they? They really haven't. And I did wonder as well. I was losing Stephen Finn, one of their. He's been a good performer for them over the last few years. And you're absolutely right. If you talk about kind of, you have to set these standards, don't you? I mean, Surrey, 2 out of 2. You kind of expect that, given the quality that they've got. Somerset, it's almost about where you set the expectation line. And Somerset and Surrey, maybe Somerset have slightly gone beyond it. 3 out of 3, very impressive. Surrey meeting it. Middlesex, way, way beyond it. And, of course, as well, just become full circle, your man Paul Sterling as well. They've lost him as well, haven't they? So, to be fair, they've, in theory, could easily have fallen away even more. But they haven't. They've got even better. They've got better, I should say. And, yeah, it's a really, really good start for them.
It is indeed. And you know what's really impressed me as well? We've mentioned two of their top three. The third member of that dynamic trio, I suppose, Joe Cracknell. Again, one of the best young batters, T20-wise, in the entire country. I love watching him bat. He's got no fears, no inhibitions about his batting. Just goes out there and gives an absolute clobbering. So, for Middlesex, still early days, of course. Things can change. It's an unpredictable format. It's a very volatile tournament. It's the T20 Blast, but I've been very, very impressed. And therefore, they are our South Group team of the week for the first week. And Matt, before we go onto the tables and wrap up today's show, the game to watch out for, again, the South Group, just like the North Group, really, so compelling, very gripping, very captivating as a group. What would your standout game of the week be ahead of this second week of fixtures?
It's really tough, isn't it? Because, like you said, there's so many really, really high quality games coming up. And this might sound a bit, I'm not sure, but you can't really judge it on where the respective teams are on the table, because this is maybe similar to a Yorkshire Lancashire or Surrey Middlesex type deal. I'm not going to refer to it by the word El Clasico, but still, no, it's a brilliant fixture. That's Hampshire versus Sussex. And it just kind of, form sort of goes out the window, doesn't it, with that one? And I think you can pretty much have a shot on a Saturday night. I believe it's preceded by a Southern Vipers one as well. It's got another doubleheader. So hopefully, they'll enjoy a really good day's cricket down in Southampton. And we'll get to see a high quality... forgive me, I'm not completely sure who the Southern Vipers are actually playing there. But, they obviously put Lightning into next week, I think, didn't they, at Trent Bridge last Sunday. So that we know how good a team they are. And then we'll cap it off with Hampshire versus Sussex. And that will be... heck of a game, I reckon.
Well, it will indeed, Matt. And yeah, just to clear that up, they're playing the Northern Diamonds.
Oh, are they?
At 2:30. Yeah, so that is going to be an excellent day of cricket. Again, if you are in the Southampton area, I'm not sure if there's any tickets remaining, but if there are, get yourself down to the Aegeus Bowl. That looks like an absolutely fantastic day of cricket. Charlotte Edwards Cup, Vipers versus Diamonds in the afternoon, and then, yeah, followed by a brilliant game between Hampshire and Sussex, South Coast rivals. Get yourself down to Southampton if you can. And talking of Hampshire and Sussex then, let's have a look at our South Group table at the end of this first week of fixtures. And at the top of the South Group are Somerset on 6 points. In second are Middlesex, also on 6 points, having won 3 out of their first 3 games. In third, having only played 2 games, are Surrey on 4 points. In fourth are Essex on 4 points. In fifth are Glamorgan on 2 points. In sixth and seventh are Gloucestershire and Sussex respectively, also both on 2 points. In eighth, the defending champions, the Kent Spitfires, find themselves on 0 points, having lost 3 out of their first 3 games. And at the bottom of the South Group at the end of week one, Hampshire County Cricket Club, the Hawks, also on 0 points. 3 losses out of 3. Things definitely do need to change. But again, as we mentioned in today's show, the T20 Blast, anything can happen. Still early days, 11 games to go. Anything is possible. But Matt, that basically brings us to an end to today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. I think it's safe to say that we've covered both groups in detail at the end of this first game week. And heading into game week two, there's going to be some fantastic games. Again, there's going to be so many fantastic performances. And just to reiterate and bring up that message again, if you are in the area, you want to watch some fast-paced, quality, entertaining cricket, get yourself down to one of the 18 first-class counties and support the Blast. It's a fantastic competition. It's a competition that personally I've been going to since 2016. And it never, never fails to deliver. So, yeah, get yourself down to a T20 Blast game if you can. Not just in the next week, but of course, in the next month or so as well. But that is essentially it from us two here at the Counter Cricket Podcast for today's episode. To each and every single one of you wonderful listeners who's tuned in, thank you very much for doing so. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.